No, his people will not be doing those things. And we cannot continue in them if they are still a part of our life. But we have that. I tell you, we are going to grow in a peace that the world just cannot even comprehend. And upon that peace, there's going to be a joy released. I think it's going to come the way Enoch got it. We're going to get closer and closer to the Lord. Now, you know, in 1988, I moved to this town right after Jim Baker, you know, had resigned and that whole thing was surfacing. But this was still a very thriving ministry. I moved about 5 miles away from here. And these groups of business people and other ministries kept coming, wanting to buy this property. And many of them would come over and ask me to pray for them to see if it was God's will for them to buy it. And I didn't even know that much about it. I had not even been over here. I'd only seen maybe a few minutes of the PTL program. So I really didn't understand it. And I didn't relate when I saw it. I just couldn't relate. And but I remember praying for this one group of businessmen who wanted to buy this property. And the Lord gave me a vision, an open vision. I want to read you. I wrote this in October of 1988 because I believe it has a vital message for us right now. And I'll just read to you as I wrote it in our newsletter at the time. He says, while praying with a group of men who were considering the purchase of this ministry, I saw the Lord walk up to a large stone, and he touched the stone, and the stone rolled away, and the grave was opened. Knowing that this spoke of a resurrection and being surprised by it, because at the time it wasn't dead. It was still a very thriving ministry. I called Bob Jones in Kansas City to ask him if he had been shown anything about PTL, because I remember Bob talking about it when a lot of that stuff happened, but I couldn't remember what he'd said because I was so disinterested, I wasn't even listening to Bob. So I called him back and said, what did the Lord show you about the PTL property? He said the Lord had shown him that it would be resurrected. Again, it can't be a resurrection unless there's first a death. And he used that same word, resurrection. He said it would be resurrected because of the widow's mites that had been put into this ministry. And the Lord said that he had watched over every one of them. And it was for them that he was going to do this, that he was going to resurrect it. Then I called James Robison. At the time, James had one of the most powerful and popular, you know, televangelist ministries. But James had also told me about how the Lord was going to do something to this property. And I couldn't remember. I did the same thing. I didn't pay much attention to him. But anyway, I called him up and I said, James, tell me again what the Lord told you about that PTL property. He said the Lord told him that it was going to be resurrected because of the widow's mites. And he used the same term, resurrection and widow's mites. Now, that tells me one thing too. The Lord, you know, anything dedicated to the Lord is holy. And even if you give into a ministry that goes awry or anything, you did not lose your investment in the kingdom. The Lord has watched over your investment. But anyway, a few nights later, I'm reading from my newsletter in 1988. A few nights later, the Lord spoke to me and said, when this ministry is resurrected, it will be a eunuch for the kingdom's sake. It will never again rape his bride, but will be used to prepare her for her coming union with him in harmony with a new breed of ministry that is about to be released. And that was the first time I'd ever heard that term, new breed of ministry. This new breed of ministry is going to be a eunuch for the kingdom's sake. Now, don't believe that's natural. It's spiritual. Someone said amen. Someone said amen. Trust me, there were a lot of people whispering amen. John the Baptist was a eunuch for the kingdom's sake. But a eunuch cannot even have a desire for the bride. And I believe there's a ministry being raised up that is going to be raised up, and we're going to have a part in it right here. And I believe this starts something really new for us in this. This is 25 years from when I wrote that. The eunuch's whole satisfaction is seeing the king satisfied, is seeing the king's fulfillment in his bride. There's a ministry being raised up that is not going to keep using the bride to build their ministry on. But they're going to give themselves. Our ministry motto we've tried to live by is, we will not use our ministry. We will not use the people to build our ministry. We'll use our ministry to build the people. Now, we want to fulfill. I'm not claiming that we haven't been perfect in that or anything else, but we desire, we esteem, we want to do that. But I know right here there's a new breed of ministry that is going to be raised up. Well, I think we're going to at least have a real part in starting it. And hopefully we've already been doing a lot of that. I believe we've raised up some extraordinary ministries here. But we don't know. You know, we count ourselves as stewards of this place. Now, this is not our place. We're just stewards. It belongs to the body of Christ. If the Lord said tomorrow, give it to another ministry, it's His, we will do that. We will do that. And it could be somebody else that could do the next phase a lot better than we could. I don't care. I just want to see it happen. I just want to be a part of seeing it happen. We may be here for another, for whatever. I don't know that either. But I know there's going to be a ministry that is not going to keep raping the bride. It is going to give itself wholly and completely to preparing the bride and not taking from the bride. They're going to be sacrificially giving everything that the Lord would have a bride that He is worthy to have, that He deserves. And there is going to be a bride without spot or wrinkle. And we want to see it. There's going to be a new breed of ministry raised up. And as I went on to write here, it says, before there can be a resurrection, there must first be a death. And this ministry is not yet dead. The Lord is delaying His coming to its aid, as He did with Lazarus. And I saw the doors close. I actually saw the chains on the doors, which I came here years later, and those literal chains were on the doors here. You know, this place stayed closed for 7 years to the day. We had our first service right here 7 years to the day from when they had closed and locked the doors. And we didn't even know that until a few days before that meeting. When somebody happened upon we were getting our certificate of occupancy, they happened upon the date in which it had been closed. It was 7 years to the day. That's no accident. That was no accident. Now, these are just buildings, but they do have a prophetic significance about restoration, about the things that were used to humiliate the international body of Christ are going to be a symbol and a testimony of His power of redemption and His heart for restoration. And guess what? Every one of us is being restored. You know you're in restoration right now? We're all being restored from the fall, from the consequence of the fall. But anyway, I said the doors will be closed and the grave sealed for a time before He will move. Then the stone will not be rolled away until the Lord touches it. And at that time, it will be given to stewards. And I went on to talk about some things. I had no idea we were going to be a part of that. And I don't know how long we'll be a part of it. Until the day this happened and it was given to us, I didn't want it to happen. Jim Baker, when he got out of prison, we were the first ministry to let him speak when he got out of prison in one of our conferences. One of the first things he said, you're going to end up with this. And we're going, no, no. We're missionaries. We don't want to run a hotel. We don't want to do all this. This is the best home we could have ever dreamed of having. I mean, we love this place now, but we didn't want it. Even to the day it happened, it was such a miracle. I didn't believe it happened until I walked out of the lawyer's office with the deed. I said, that was amazing. Now what do? It felt like the puppy who chased the train and caught it. You know, now I'm sitting there right then. We had no plans. So what do now? We got all this stuff. And you can't believe what this place looked like. Looked like some of our lives. Homeless people had been living in it for years. It started fires and used the elevators as toilets. And when I walked through here with all the reporters and everybody, one of them kept asking me, you really think you can do this? I'm going, I don't know. I really don't know. This is bad. This is really bad.